Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
This is the last service of our missions emphasis here this year at Columbus First Assembly. And faith promise cards are scattered throughout. We are going to be collecting them this week and next week. So I want to introduce to you a special guest. I invited Joey Coons and his wife Hannah to join us today because he has a story to share. A story that when I heard it, I thought probably is going to reflect what some of you, but I know some of those in our community, experience. Joey is a campus pastor at Ball State University, and if you came in and saw his table over there, Ball State Cardinals, and also you were a student, is that correct, at least for a little while at Ball State. He is what is called a campus pastor for an organization called Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha is the campus ministry arm of our denomination, the Assemblies of God. Other denominations have, like, you know, their campus ministries and their campus pastors. Ours are under the title of Chi Alpha. Joey and his wife Hannah are the directors there at Ball State. And because he is a campus pastor, that also makes him a missionary. We support missionaries, campus missionaries, at Indiana, Purdue. Trying to think where else is there. Oh, down in Evansville. I can't remember the college that's down there in Evansville. We support them. Just to be honest, we don't support you yet. It's your first time here. Do a good job, we might. Don't do a good job, we still might. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with our missions budget, which is why, as you let us know what God has placed on your heart, we're able to set a missions budget. He and his wife are actually, they raise support, just like a missionary going overseas. And then the support that they raise is given on a monthly basis. And that is how they are able to do ministry and support the work there. I asked Joey and Heather here because Joey's story of how he became a follower of Jesus is playing out in families all around us. And maybe within our own family. So please welcome this morning, Joey and Hannah Coons.
Well, good morning. See, I love when congregations respond. That's great. You know, normally I get up here, it's like, good morning. So thank you for responding. It makes me feel welcome. But as Pastor Rick said, my name's Joey, and my wife Hannah is sitting here. I do the talking. She doesn't like to normally come up and talk, and so she says I do a better job. So I'll be doing all of our talking this morning, but we are campus pastors at Ball State University with Chi Alpha. And so we'll get into a little bit more of the specifics about the campus here in a little bit, but Pastor Rick asked me to share my story of kind of like how I came to faith and how college and that whole time of my life, how that kind of played out. So if you want to hit that next slide. So this is a nice picture of us, and Hannah looks better than I do. So next slide again, please. So here's me in all of my glory at 18 years old. So I grew up in Assemblies of God Church. I went to church most of my life. I came to church because my grandma was a believer. My grandma, when I was very young, began to take me to Sunday school, and I learned quickly how to pray and that Jesus didn't like when I was bad. And, you know, and grandma would always be asking me, like, is Jesus very happy with you? And I'm like, well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know? You know, so I was kind of a firecracker as a kid, if you could imagine that. It might have been the red hair, but so I grew up because my parents weren't Christians at the time, so my grandma took me every week, and eventually my whole household came to know the Lord because of my grandma's influence. And so grandmothers, grandfathers who are here, don't underestimate the influence you have with your prayers and even just making your grandkids come to church with you, because that made a difference, and I think you'll see this as it played out. But as I grew up, I went into high school, and I began to surround myself with friends who weren't, well, at least they would say they were Christians, but they didn't live out faith as I knew should be. You know, at least not according to my church and how I went to understand following Jesus. So we grew up, and then about the sophomore year is when I kind of decided that I'm going to begin doing what I want to do. You know, I still went to church. I still went to youth group. I was part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes at high school. I played on the worship team. I know this picture looks like it's from 1980. It's not. It's, you know, this is 2009. But so that was my senior year. But this is what I did. You know, I faked it really, really good. And I realized that nobody else really saw the rest of my life, and I could hide my life pretty well, even from my parents. And so that's kind of where I went all the way through school. And then I came to my senior year in school, and I was going to Ball State University, and I said, I'm just going to live the college experience. I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to do and live as I know and I've been raised. I want to have the whole college experience. I want to go to the crazy parties, and I want to do stupid stuff and find a bunch of women to be with. Like, I just want to, this is my college experience. I only do this once. And then maybe afterwards, I'll get right with Jesus, you know. And I would say that the majority of our students, even though if they won't say it publicly, they at least have some kind of that rebellion in their heart going into college. And I was ready to just totally jump on in. But the Lord had other plans. So I was at my church service, my first week at Ball State. You know, I went through the first week of class and stuff, and I hadn't went to any parties or done anything like that, and I had no intention on changing. I had my plan was set. I'm going to live how I want to live. And then the Lord showed up at service unexpectedly. It wasn't the sermon. I always tell my pastor, I'm not trying to be mean, but it wasn't your sermon. It wasn't the worship team. It wasn't the songs that were played. It wasn't anybody's specific prayer. I was sitting in a pew, and I felt the Lord come to me and say, you need to choose. You can choose to walk your way, or you can follow me. But if you don't follow me, you never will. And so that kind of blew up my whole plan of live how I want to now and then come follow Jesus later. And so I made a choice that morning by the grace of the Lord coming to me in his kindness, repented, and began to walk after the Lord. And that was my freshman year in college. And I couldn't get enough of Jesus following that experience. I was reading books, which was not a normal thing for me. I was reading books, which now I love books. Hannah like rolls her eyes because I buy books so often. But I love books. I was reading scripture. I was every time the doors of the church were open, I was there. I was just hungry, hungry, hungry. And then in late fall, I was lamenting over the life that I had lived in school because I knew that I had lived apart from the Lord. I knew that I had lived apart from him, and I knew that that caused people to walk away from faith. And I said, God, what can I do? And it was there at the library. I believe it was the third floor of the library at a table. I felt the Lord say, you should go to ministry. So I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm going into ministry. She's like, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know, but the Lord said to do it. And I'm like, I have no idea. And so I transferred out after my first year. I spent 1 year at Ball State. I finished out the year, and I figured I can do all my general classes, or as many as I could, so then I could at least be ahead when I get to Bible school. So you can hit that next slide, please. So the next few years, I went to Bible school from 2010, and I graduated eventually in 2016. I kind of took the long track of taking my schooling online, but I was working full-time as well. But, so I started there, but I didn't have anybody in my life that was really close to my age. I had a couple friends and a close cousin, but we all lived in separate towns, and so we only really saw each other at church very often. And so I was like, God, I'm hungry. There's got to be more than this, you know, and there's got to be more than just coming to church and just coming to a Bible study and reading scripture on my own, which all those things were wonderful. But I'm like, God, there's got to be more than this. And then in the spring of 2012, really the fall of 2011, Chi Alpha got started at Ball State. So I was going to my church to study, all my online studies. My pastor said, you should go get check out Ball State. Now the only, or Chi Alpha at Ball State. And so I'm like, Pastor, that's great, but I hate Ball State. I was there. I transferred out. I would drive around the campus because my mom would work at the hospital. I would drive around the campus to avoid going through it if I ever had to go see my mom at work or take her to work or anything like that. I hate Ball State, God. I don't want to go to Chi Alpha there. Why don't you start it somewhere else? Like, you know, it's like this dialogue, you know, again, firecracker. But so I'm talking to the Lord, and I felt like there was no good reason not to go other than I was being stubborn. And so I went, and something incredible happened. I fell in love with the group almost instantly. And suddenly it didn't matter that it was at Ball State. In fact, God began to open up my eyes to see the beauty of that campus. It was almost as if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I began to see the inherent potential there for God to move on the campus. So I got involved as a student, even though I was an online student at a Bible school. The directors at that time let me come and be an active part of the group. And so you can hit that next slide. Fast forward to a couple years from there. In fall of 2014, I came on staff with Chi Alpha. So I kind of served in a number two spot for a while. And I began to, I always say I put feet to my faith. So I feel like my church really equipped me well. My pastor equipped me super well to know how to read the Bible and like a deep foundation of theology and belief. But Chi Alpha, I always say, is what taught me how to actually walk it out. Chi Alpha, I began to actually walk through and with discipleship, both people discipling me and then also discipling others. And I have different pictures up through here of different people that I was involved with and leading them to know the Lord more and more. And it was incredible that I was like, why was this so absent in my life? And I don't have an answer for that. I don't think it was my church's fault or anything. I just don't think I really realized the importance of discipleship. And I think almost better than any other ministry I've ever seen, I think Chi Alpha embodies discipleship so well. That we're meant to live together, that we live life on life together, not only at services, but we actually live together in homes. We live together, we discipled each other like day in and day out. It wasn't just a couple times a week. We were always getting together and talking about life. We were going to the movies together. We were going to eat. We're having bonfires, that we're singing worship music around the bonfires together. And it was incredible. It was an incredible experience for me to be able to grow with this DNA of just discipleship. And now it's almost like a no-brainer in our group of like, well, what are you doing? You're not having a one-on-one with your small group leader? What's wrong with you? Like, it's kind of like that's the kind of the culture that we're building there. And so then in spring 2019, our directors began to, or actually it started before this, but that was with their final semester with us, and they were going to move beyond. So you can hit that next slide. So as of April of 2019, that's when my wife and I began to direct the ministry at Ball State. So this is a picture of our staff team. How do I explain this? So the woman and the tall man all the way to the left, they're the old directors. So they really forged my Chi Alpha faith so well. And they walked before me in humility and in righteousness before the Lord. And I have so much to owe to them. So in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm trying to fill really, really big shoes. But the Lord has been there this year in such a powerful way. And it's been cool to see the students rally behind my wife and I. But it's only now, I think, that I'm beginning to understand the significance and the importance of college ministry and just even this age group. Because these students, people when they're 18 to 22 years old, statistically and scientifically proven, their brains aren't all the way developed yet. So they're still like forming into the people that they're going to be for the rest of their lives. But they're making huge choices. Not only what career am I going to do, but like what am I going to do with my career? Those are two important distinctions because it's important to know what we're doing, but then like why are we doing it? You know, and so many students come saying, like, I'm doing this because I'm going to make a lot of money, or this is a prestigious spot, or people will look up to me, you know. And so I think it's important to redeem that time to say, like, what is God directing you to do with your vocation? But then you're making choices of who you're going to be your friends for the rest of your life. The college friends are the friends that really forge into the people that you're going to know long term. You're developing your moral base, your integral base, your decisions. Like, you know, everything about college is so formative for the rest of your life. And I think I'm just now beginning to understand that, you know, about a decade later after being a freshman in school, I'm beginning to see that. So that was kind of a little bit of my faith journey. So I want to encourage you, if you have students who are going to college or are in college, to pray for them fervently. I'm sure that I came to know the Lord because there were people like yourselves praying for me to come to know the Lord and wasn't giving up on me, even if, like, they knew how I was living. I'm sure there were people that weren't stupid. You know, I'm sure there were people that saw straight through me, but they believed in me, and more importantly, they believed in the power of God to work in and through me. And this is an incredibly important college ministry, and I think it's incredibly strategic because we're directly impacting the future of our culture and our cities. The people that are going to be our teachers, our doctors, our leaders, our people who travel all around the world, we can take the gospel everywhere through college ministry. So I'm going to share a little bit about Ball State, if you can hit that next slide. So Ball State itself has 22,000 students. I'm not sure how big Columbus is, but Muncie has about a 20,000 population spike every fall, and you can tell. You can tell. It's like if you're here in the summer and then suddenly it's August, you can't get anywhere because there's 20,000 more people there. But 17,000 live on campus. So that's quite remarkable because there's a lot of students on campus all the time. And so when you look at our top majors, you know, there's teaching, nursing, telecommunications, architecture. And I think those are really key. Like David Letterman went to Ball State. I think he most famously recently said Ball State is the Harvard of Muncie. And amen to that. That's true, because the only other option you have is Ivy Tech. But so you got teachers. Can you imagine if every teacher that comes from Ball State knew the Lord? Some of our kids interact with their teachers in a given week more hours than they do with us at home, because they're there for 8 hours a day. Some, you know, 8 hours a day. Could you imagine what it'd be like to know that your son, your daughter's teacher knows the Lord, is carrying the gospel with them, the presence of God with them? Can you imagine what it'd be like if every nurse coming from Ball State had the healing touch of the Holy Spirit living inside of them? Not only had all the expertise and the medical knowledge, but actually had the great physician walking beside them. And telecommunications, there's nothing more influential in our culture than our media. Nothing. So many of our students come and they have like this like hodgepodge, like faith criteria. Like I don't even know what they have such jumbled belief systems. That's like, it's incredible. But most of it comes from what they've seen on YouTube, what they've seen actors and actresses say, things like that. There's nothing more influential than our media. Can you imagine what it would be like to send students from Ball State into the heart of Babylon, if you will, to our telecommunications, to our media, to Hollywood, and begin to redeem that, bring morals into our television shows and our movies, our news, our entertainment? That's why I serve at Ball State. Because I believe this is way too big of an opportunity to just sit on the sidelines about. And only 5% of our campus is actively involved in any Christian group at Ball State. We run right around, as far as a service goes, we usually have somewhere between 60 and 80 on a given week. You know, we probably have about 100, 120 students total involvement with our ministry. But 5%, that's less than 1,000 students of the entire student population in a Christian group. And that's far too low, in my opinion. And so it's my heart and it's my conviction to see people come to know the Lord while they're in college. You can hit that next slide, please. So we exist for two reasons. We want to be a home away from home for Christian students coming to our campus because, just like me, I grew up in a Christian home. I knew how to serve the Lord, and I had no intentions to live for him. And I'm sure that's the heart of many students coming into their senior year, their junior year, when they're thinking about college. They have, again, the media telling them, the movies, you know, the television shows, here's what college is like. And honestly, a lot of times, that may seem way more appealing than denying yourself all those things. We need a Christian witness because our college campuses will devour our students without a Christian witness there. They'll be devoured. It's the first time they're away from home for an extended amount of time without the influence of mom and dad. This is the first time that they're probably going to be interacting with people with incredibly different beliefs, some completely antithetical to what they've grown up knowing. It's lonely. You know, I don't have the friends I always had. It's you're literally uprooting and starting over. We need a Christian witness there on campus. But we don't want to just like be somewhere where they kind of like hunker and bunker, you know, and just hide from the big bad college. I believe God brings them there to do good work. Something we say often in Chi Alpha is what God has done in you, he wants to then do through you. So we want the students to know that God's empowering them to reach people while they're there at Ball State. And so that brings to the second reason we exist. We want to be a place where people get to know Jesus. There are more and more, I think this is now the largest generation, I think generations, are we on Z now? I lose track of which one we're on, but this is the most unchurched generation ever in America. And it shows. It really does show. There's more and more people are less concerned with spiritual matters. The people even who are coming from our churches don't know the Bible. It's incredible. The biblical literacy is like here. You know, it's incredible. But we want to be a place where people get to know the Lord, who know Jesus, who get into scriptures for themselves, who experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready on Tuesday. We're bringing a pastor in from Chicago preaching about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Most of our students have never heard of that. We want to be a place where we can experience God together. And maybe, for some, Jesus for the very first time. So this next slide is a story of a woman. She is a woman, I guess. I say young lady. Her name's Catherine. So she came to school last fall. So in 2018? Yeah, 2018, she came to Ball State as a freshman. She didn't have a Christian background. She went to a vacation Bible school every year until she was 9, and I think she went to one Christian camp that was put on by like her uncle. But when she was 9 years old, her dad sat her down and said, "You are not allowed to be a Christian. Christians are terrible people." And he filled her mind with a lot of lies about Christianity, or at least biases. But at 9 years old, you believe your dad, you know, because your dad loves you. And her mom and dad had divorced at that point. And so she grew up without going to church again. She wasn't allowed to stay the night at Saturday nights with people because that might mean that she would go to church the next morning with somebody. And her dad wasn't okay with it. And so she said in fifth grade was the first time she remembers feeling alone and empty. And she grew up with that loneliness and emptiness all the way until her freshman year at Ball State. And she was filling her life with alcohol and bad relationships. And she was depressed and lonely. But her roommate got invited to Chi Alpha. And so her roommate invited her to come to Chi Alpha. And she said, and they said it's like a church thing. I think that was like the exact words. It's a church thing or something. And they said, okay. Because she never was able to go. So God used teenage rebellion for his good in this moment. But so she came and she heard the gospel and she responded and gave her life to the Lord that very night. Very first time at Chi Alpha. She was baptized later that fall. And now, fast forward to today, she's one of our small group leaders out fighting for students. She's an incredible worship leader. She's on the worship team, and she's being in training to become a worship leader in our group. And that's why we exist. We want people to come to know the Lord. And we believe that Catherine's story is proof that this generation is not a lost cause. A lot of people just say, like, this generation's lost. The millennials, Generation Z, we just need to, like, start over or something. It's not true. The God of the Bible is powerful. God of the Bible is more powerful than our culture, than any obstacle that we have. And her story is proof that when the word comes in power, students respond to the gospel. And I still believe that, and that's why I do what I do. So this next slide, we talk about, we do this through community, discipleship, and mission. So we say, well, you need all three. We call them our three anchors. And it's kind of like a triangulating. You never see like a tree. When you first plant it, you triangulate it. You know, you have three stakes that keep it up. And we say that this is kind of like our anchors, our triangulation, to keep us vertical towards God and then horizontal to each other. We need community. I kind of hit on that already, but we're not meant to be islands. We can't do this alone. We were made in the image of divine community, the Trinity. What makes us ever think we could live beyond that? We need our brothers and sisters to remind us of truth, to get in our face every once in a while and say, you're not living according to the Lord. But we need discipleship. We can't just have community or otherwise we're just a club. So we need to be about something. We're devoted to God. We get into his word. We worship him every week. We worship him every day. And then we have mission. We want to be about something. We don't want to just have community and discipleship and learn all about God and never do anything about it. And there's 22,000 students. Many of them do not know the Lord. We have an entire mission field right there, isolated, pocketed. 22,000 students that we could reach with the gospel. I don't know of any church that wouldn't want an opportunity to reach 22,000 people. You know? And so we go and fight for the students. We fight to find the lost lambs of God on campus. And we believe that there's more Catherines out there. We believe that there's more people out there who, if they hear the gospel, they'll respond. And so you can hit that next slide. So that's kind of all that I have to share. So you can partner with us in prayer. We have everything out on our table that you could possibly need. But thank you so much for allowing me to share my heart, share my story, my passion for college students. If you have any questions, I'd love to answer those questions after service or at any time. You have my contact stuff out there. So maybe if you think of something later, you know, you can take one of those contact cards and email me, call me, whatever. But well, Pastor Rick, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thank you, Joey. Think about this. He talked about the college years, 18 through, well, on the six-year plan, that takes you to about 24, 25, as how formative it is. College is so formative in the development of us as adults in all areas, mentally, socially, and other ways. College is so formative. If it is so formative, where do you think the enemy is going to plant some of his demonic spirits? In a place where adults are being formed. Several weeks ago, I preached a message on sowing to the wind and weeping the whirlwind. And I talked about if we sow to the flesh, if we sow to ourselves, if we sow here, in time, that seed is going to sprout and we're going to reap the whirlwind. But if we sow over here to kindness and goodness and to our faith, we're going to sow to the wind and we're going to reap the whirlwind. Well, it sounds like Joey made all these plans to go to college to sow to a wind, a certain wind that later on in his life he would reap a whirlwind. And God intervened, and we praise God for that. But how many of our students does God not intervene because they're not looking for God? And so they're sowing here, and they're sowing here, and they're sowing here, and they're sowing here, not realizing that the Bible is true, that if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Why are so many adults' lives, young adults now, 30-somethings, why are they so messed up relationally? Why are they so messed up with substances? Why are they so messed up in so many areas? Because they have been sowing to the wind. That's why campus ministry, whether it be Chi Alpha or Youth for Christ or Campus Crusade, Baptist Student Union, all of them are there because if we can get the students connected with Jesus, and they begin to sow in the right direction, they will begin to reap. But it's just not about campus missions. It's about a lot of things. And so I'm going to take just a moment or two or three or four and talk to you about faith, promise, giving, and missions. You're going to be seeing here just in a moment the faces of virtually every missionary and every missions organization that this church supports. It's well over 37. Go ahead and run that loop if you would, please. It's well over 37 different missionaries or missions organization. You're going to see their faces. You're going to see the faces of their families. You're going to see where the ministry is taking place. Every single one of the individuals that are you going to see on the screen depend on this church as well as other churches, other individuals, other organizations to be and to do what they're doing because it is through the giving. See, a missionary in the Assemblies of God, especially if they're overseas, does not have the ability to then work on the side to earn income to do ministry. And so it is churches like ours, individuals like you and I. We say it's churches like ours. We're only the ones that collect the money and distribute it. It really has nothing to do with this church. It has to do with you. See, when the Biermans and the Glowackies and the Wamplers and the Millers and the Deaners and the Cummins, when they on a monthly basis contribute to missions, then Todd and Amanda Tyson and Chris and Amy Stubbs and Bernie and Brenda Smith and Jeff and Sarah Alexander get a portion of that, and they're able to do ministry that month, and then the next month it repeats itself. Here at Columbus First Assembly, I want us to be a 100% participatory church, if at all possible. That means that everyone who calls this church home will on a monthly basis contribute to reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Whether you do a faith promise or not doesn't matter to me. Whether you will involve yourself in the harvest is what matters to me. Clarity is one of our local missions. The McHughes are in the Middle East. Jason and Stacy Miller, they're Chi Alpha at UIndy, the University of Indianapolis. Linda Seilers at Purdue. Scott and Anna Seipel, right out of this church, right now in India. I prayed for them early this morning. I was up at about 3 for a few moments. I woke up and I thought, you know what? I bet it's about 3 p.m. there in India. So I prayed for Scott and Anna Seipel because they are out amongst the people in India. And they're there because of people like you and people like me who are contributing to reach the world for our Lord Jesus Christ. Take a faith promise card. I want you to take these. Hopefully you've been praying about what God might have you do. We would ask that you would fill out this portion here. If you're a regular attender here, you don't have to fill out your address, your zip code, or all those things because we've got you in our system. But what we would like to know is what you, by faith, believe that God would have you do on a monthly or a weekly basis for the cause of missions through this church. If you would put that amount there, put your name, and then fill it out on this side, rip this portion off. That's a reminder to you. And then the ushers will be coming here in just a few moments, and I'm going to have them just collect those as we would do an offering. So just put into the offering bags your faith promise card. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not ready yet. We'll be collecting next week, or you can drop them off at the office. But I want you to ask yourself, what would it take for Matt and Eva Barlow to be a part of them reaching the deaf in Nicaragua? Stuart and Wendy Brown are ministering in Mexico. Convoy of Hope is a relief organization. They're at every disaster here in the United States and around the world, helping to give clean water, food, and other things, as well as to help reach people for the gospel. One of Convoy of Hope's foundational things is when they go into an area, they go into one of our established Assemblies of God churches, and that's where they set up. They set up so that when people come, they will come to the church, and if they're interested in the things of God, when they come to receive their aid, if they're interested in the things of God, they have a place where they could come back later and talk to someone about Jesus. Maybe even on that day that they come for aid, pray. Lisa Russi is in France. We've already talked about disciples. The Webbies are in Northern Africa, just faces and families. The Vandermolens in Cambodia. I spent some time with Brent a few years ago, and he talked to me about his heart for Cambodia. And Cambodia was one of those nations that was so torn apart by wars and inner civil wars. And he's there working to reach Cambodians with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's there partially because some of you here last year filled out faith promise cards. Begin to fill these out. Begin to fill these out. If you're not ready, then begin to pray, what would God have you do? It is a faith promise. We're not going to come after you if for some reason you can't meet it. But may I challenge you to push just a little bit beyond what you have been giving. And if you've not been giving to missions, then your very first faith promise will be pushing a little bit. What would God have you do? And this is between you and him. It's not between the church. The only reason we need the numbers is we base our budget as to how we can support the missionaries over the next year based on what you say by faith you hope to be able to do, and that's how we base our budget. Ushers, if you'd make your way forward, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Nathaniel, if you'd make your way to the platform. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, speak to those who call this their church home. And may we become a church with 100% participation. Amongst the teens, may they give to Speed the Light. Amongst the children, may they be involved in Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And amongst the adults, as we give, and then the money is distributed to all of these missionaries and missions organizations that we support on a monthly basis. For the one that's being challenged to stretch, Lord, may they take that step of faith and write down and then begin to give what you have placed on their heart. Because, Lord, as they sow to the fields, as they sow to the world, as they sow to the wind of missions, they are going to reap a whirlwind in their own life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a faith promise filled out, feel free to fold it in half if you would like. Drop it in these offering bags. And Nathaniel, I know that you have some things that you would like to share. Nathaniel heard about our theme and about Ball State and about campus missions and about the time of life in college and how influential it is. And he said, I have a story that I'd like to share. So we're going to listen.
It so encouraged me because Mallory and I graduated from Ball State. So we know Ball State well. It's been almost 15 years now. It's hard to say that. It's been that long that we graduated. But I think it's, there used to be a gap in the door and the foundation of our screened-in porch. And birds would get in there. And every now and then Josiah would yell, Daddy, there's another bird in the porch. And so I'd go open the door. You can imagine him yelling that. I would open the door and help this bird out. Well, some of them would learn to get in and out, would nest in there. So their hatchlings would try to fly out of the nest and would fall. And so they end up in this place where they couldn't fly and they were trapped. And I think in a lot of ways that's what our college kids are. They're in a place where they don't know how to fly yet, but they're trapped. I know for Mallory and I, we grew up in the church. We didn't know how to fly. I had never heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit when I went to school, and I argued pretty strongly for a few weeks. But we're so thankful that our campus pastors, Scott and Bridget Bogard, they gave up their life in corporate America, their money, their security, and their BMW to come minister to a bunch of college kids. And at college, it can be subtle, but it can be strong. In my junior year, I had to move. I was forced to move about three quarters through the year. And I moved in. I walked into this room, and And on the wall from this poster was basically two women that had basically nothing on. And that's what I had to deal with for the rest of the year. So it's oppressive and it's right there. But it's also subtle. I took a class called Jesus in the Gospels. There wasn't much Jesus in that gospel. It was taught by an ordained minister, and he was arguing the validity of some of the heretical things expressly forbidden in the scriptures. And that was 15 years ago. And, you know, at college, you either swim upstream or you get blown downstream. And it's a very important time. And I think it's... Put the picture of Catherine up there, if you would, please, Mark. And sometimes we think of our missionaries. We think of our missionaries that they're impacting people, and they are. But they're impacting her children and her children's children. Because I know, because of what Scott and Bridget Bogard did for us, they're impacting our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids will be changed because of the sacrifices they made and the sacrifices that the people that supported them did. So I encourage you. You know, Mallory and I, on Sunday, this last week, agreed on where we were going to go. And I'll be honest, this is not, we have some extra money. This is, I don't know where this is going to come from. This is, we need this money for something else. I'll be very honest with you. But is his word true, and is he faithful? He is faithful. God is faithful. If the team would come on up. You know, he says in John 10 that he is the good shepherd, and he takes care of his sheep. This is an opportunity for us to come alongside those missionaries that are giving their lives for the advancement of the gospel. Disciples, they're impacting generations in India. And so as we're going to sing Reckless Love again. As we sing this, that there is no shadow he won't light up. The scripture says that the very entrance of your word brings light. If there's no word, how is there light? So we're coming along these missionaries to bring light. Light.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.